Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, 1798Part2.org, and RepublicReview.org. I hope you're going to the event this Saturday at Franklin Park. I think it goes from 11:30 to whenever. Actually, I have a slip over here, and it tells me what the dates and times are. I know it's at Franklin Park on Saturday, and I will be speaking, I believe, at about 1 o'clock. I hope that you take the time to come, and I hope that you take the time to meet and mingle and try to network. I hope everybody that goes there tries to understand who's there and why they're there. There may be some nefarious people there, and hopefully you'll note them, and we can share those people that probably aren't the like-minded ilk that we would like to have there. But those people who are like-minded, I hope we start connecting. We need to get connected. We need to get organized. It is important to start cleaning up our neighborhoods and communities so that we can actually get this county on track. You've heard me talking and railing about this for 2 years now. There's no point in really trying to clean up and or get the GOP straightened out until we get ourselves organized as well. And so I'm hoping to see you there on Saturday. I'm hoping for a great turnout. I know we've been running some PSAs here, and I think it goes from 11:30 to 2:30, something like that, or maybe 3. Either way, it ought to be a good event, and it ought to be nice and reasonable weather-wise. At least it won't be 110 or anything like that. I also need to state this, that this really is the only show on air that actually has the only constitutional solution that will get the federal government into the framework of the Constitution. There's no doubt about this. There's nobody that's been able to refute this. I've been on the air for 2 years. I've worked and actually discussed this with constitutional scholars. I've even had Dr. Vile on this radio show. Not once did he refute that you can't do this. He basically said no court will recognize it, or he's come out with those types of scoffs because obviously he came right out and said he doesn't support it. He doesn't want to see this happen. There's reasons for that, folks. It's because they don't want to see the unraveling of all the unconstitutional government, because it's a great gravy train for education and a lot of systems like that. Anyway, if you cannot listen to this entire show today, then this show will be rebroadcasted on Thursday at 5 p.m. And then Saturday, we're getting closer and closer. I think we'll be rebroadcasting this on at 1 p.m. But when we get close to the game time with Whitworth football games, as you know, this channel also broadcasts their football games. So we'll be moved to 11 in the morning, so from 11 to 12. And as well as Saturday at 9 p.m. So if you don't get your Reclaiming the Republic on completely, you have a chance of listening to it either as you're on the radio, listening on the radio, driving, or you can always stream. Just go to ksbn.net and you can stream the show as well from the comforts of whatever, you know, you have internet, whether that be at Starbucks or whether that be at home. This is an educational show. Many of these shows refer to previous shows, and that's why I try to build off of these shows so we wander down this road together, helping you garner what Republic Review is. Consequently, to stay abreast with all of this content, you really do need to download these podcasts, and you can find them at reclaimingtherepublic.org. Don't forget, there's also other content there. I've got my arguments and everything else available for you there. The big question I have for you that I hope that you can cogitate on while I go through this show and ask yourself, are you really happy with the results of this election? I'm not. I think that there are some good things that have come out of this election, but it is not looking good. And even though we had a decent turnout, we did not get near where, and we're going to talk about this, we did not get anywhere near where we really needed to be. I think we need to be well above the 80% percentile to get the real results so that Spokane has its representation in government. Let me digress and let me get back onto track because I was digressing, and let me go down this little rat hole called the local announcements for the Republican Coffee Club. This Friday, if you're not happy with some of the decisions, or if you are elated with some of the decisions of Mayor Dave Condon, he is going to be there. I expect it to be standing room only, and this will be at the Something Else Deli at 152 South Sherman. Please make sure you go, and please thank him for the great job you think he's doing, or let him know what you think he's doing, because it's important. And the fact that the man is willing to avail himself to the public like this, unfiltered and so forth, I think that's a big thing. I saw him last year, and I asked him a question regarding the progressive social engineering and some of the stuff that's going on that they have been supporting. And why isn't he fighting some of that stuff? And he just, anyway, that's okay though, because I think he was more there to kind of present the, you know, the state of the city kind of thing. But anyway, that is this Friday, 7 in the morning at Something Else Deli, 152 South Sherman. So I'm hoping you go and meet your mayor if you haven't had a chance to do that yet. I will also state that next month, because this last month, last week, there was really no Northwest Grassroots movie night. So it will be the 12th of September at Darcy's, unless the venue changes. And if it does, I'll let you know. But it will be next month at Darcy's. So make sure you plan and put it on your calendar so that you can attend. I will state this, that if you've been listening to my Red State Talk Radio, you know that I've been kind of covering, not kind of, I've been going into the details of the party system, the problems with the parties, and reading George Washington's farewell address is how he kind of picks apart the parties and how they have really, not that they don't have merit, because he does point out in one of his last statements in his farewell address, that in a Republican form of government where liberty is embraced, the party can have a, not an essential role, but it can have a positive role. But when it comes to, and he's very clear on this, and so you really need to listen to, Tuesday's show this week. So that would have been yesterday. If you listen to what I was reading yesterday on Red State Talk Radio, what I said, excuse me, is that in a democracy where it is a direct elected type of government, where the people mob rule type of thing, parties are the most dangerous. And with the waving of a wand and with a lot of indoctrination, voila, we have created what most people believe is a democracy, and people are expecting their 50% vote to count and so forth. And they've been taught the form of democracy as our government as the primary rule. They do not understand little r republicanism. They do not understand a representative government, and they do not understand two separate sovereigns and constituents within the local level. In other words, the county and the people, as well as the states and the people, as well as within our bicameral legislative body, why we have two different representatives, one for the county and one for the people of the county. Same thing with the states. In the federal bicameral legislative body, we have one that represents the people of the states and one that represents the state itself, and so are the states themselves. And so that is a paradigm that the Democrats do not want you to understand that. Because that is the safety in keeping parties and keeping democracy from actually getting a foot and people being convinced that they can vote away their liberties. But we have a lot of idiots and dolts out there that have been indoctrinated that believe that they can vote away their liberties instead of, and a good case in point is, believe it or not, in California, excuse me, in California, the judges actually ruled correctly that you cannot vote for splitting the state like they were trying to do in an initiative referendum or what have you, that they were taking to the general election this coming year. And the Supreme Court blocked it and said, you can't do this because it's a violation of the Constitution. It's the same thing, folks. You can't get rid of your liberties by having an election and say, we want to get rid of our Second Amendment rights. There are two big hurdles that you have to get over to basically start actually limiting the arms and your right to bear arms. And if you want to know what those two hurdles are, you're going to need to come to the presentation because I'm going to cover those. I'm going to cover those very specifically. So, anyway, as I covered these types of things on my show yesterday and this past week, I think you'll find it interesting how, you know, Washington clearly knew and understood, as well as understanding the mechanism of changing the Constitution, that democracies is not the process. You can't just have a vote on it. There is a way and a specific process within the instrument or within the Constitution of what you can do and how to do it. It's called the Article 5 process. Anyway, for not in the next segment, but for the last two segments, we will have Aline Lindstrom in the studio, and we're going to cover the results of the election as far as the turnout and those types of things, because there's some interesting points, and I'm going to have her back a couple more times right before the election and then right after the election for the general. But with that, I, you know, want you to kind of get your arms around how important it is for a self-government system for people and everybody to participate in their government process, which is the only thing you really do in this process is voting. And Washington State has really made it very, very easy, and they've made it very vulnerable for corruption by using algorithms and those types of things. I mean, why do we even need an algorithm? Why can't we just actually count the votes and let the outcome come by the count instead of a computer using an algorithm? I mean, that even sounds fishy. I propose that we start looking at actual voter initiatives and trying to ferret through and actually make and take control of our system, and maybe leaving the mail-in ballots, but completely abandoning the process that we have, allowing politicians to control the outcome of our elections. You can't be happy, and you can't think it's a good idea to allow people to steal elections. Everybody on the left has been complaining that Russia was involved in the last election in 2016, and so we want a good, clean, and I think everybody agrees, we want a good, clean system that can allow us to actually get the outcomes of what we voted for and what we've desired. So with that, I want to kind of go into this federal smog here in the Eastern Washington and actually in the Pacific Northwest in general. And I got to ask you, are you really proud of the fact that you have to breathe this crap in the air? Because for the most part, there really is no smog in Spokane, Eastern Washington. There really isn't a lot of industry. So why is it that there's all of this smog hanging all over this place? And it has nothing to do with corporations and greed and all of that. It has everything to do with pernicious policies of the federal government and violating the Constitution. So we'll get into that right when we come back, so that you can have a little bit of knowledge as you're sucking all that soot in. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so I am back and it's just me still. Aileen's not here yet. But I was going off on this problem, this breathing problem. I know that seniors and people that have lung problems can't get out because the air quality is so poor. But it's just not a coincidence that we have all of these problems. As a matter of fact, this is the nature. I've talked about this whole problem before on, in different shows with different people and so forth. The federal government has been deliberately allowing our wilderness in this area to literally go amok. My grandfather was a logger, and he was a logger over in the Oregon coast and up on the south side of Washington. And when they came out with announcing these policies, he basically said, and he was just getting ready to retire, but he said that down the road, it won't happen tomorrow, but you're just a decade away, if not a little more, from having, you know, calamities of forest fires and nothing but problems where you'll have the forest get infested with disease, pine beetles, and all of these types of things. And everything he said has come true. Because back in those days, they weren't strip harvesting. They were doing very good due diligence. I remember as a Boy Scout, because I grew up in this area. I remember as a Boy Scout every winter, the beginning of winter and towards the end of winter, we would go into the warehouse areas. And I think there was a kind of a symbiotic relationship. I think Weyerhaeuser contributed to the Boy Scouts, and the Boy Scouts went and planted trees along the hillsides so that that area would be reforested with, you know, in a matter of a few years. And that's exactly what happened. And that's how they have been good stewards of our landscape and our countryside. And the fact that we cannot harvest and that we are dealing with fires and all sorts of other infestations, the fact that the federal government has brought these wasps here, supposedly they're a natural predator of the pine beetle, well, that hasn't worked because the pine beetle is still out of hand. And the wasps are out of hand. It's almost like you can't even go out in your yard unless you're paying for it. So the one thing that maybe have been a benefit in this entire manipulation of the Pacific Northwest by the federal government is that it's allowed for a few small businesses of pest exterminations for wasps and so forth to make money. But for the most part, it's been very costly. People in losing lives, people in losing property and so forth. And this is all, again, this is a part of a manipulation from the federal government. Why is it that we allow this to happen? This is unconstitutional. Show me in the Constitution where the federal government has been delegated by the states the authority to manage any state land. As a matter of fact, that was a standing question on my radio show, my national radio show. Where in the Constitution does the federal government have any authority from the states to actually own any state land for any form of reservation, whether that be for trees, whether that be for people, whether that be for agriculture, for environmental purposes? Where in the Constitution do they have this authority? They don't. it was a usurpation, and this is literally the fallout from their violating the Constitution and being able to manipulate us. If we want to solve this problem, then you really need to start understanding Republic Review. If you really want to solve the problem, and if you really want to solve the problem and you understand Republic Review, then what we need to do is we need to get behind those candidates in those really red states that are willing to commit and signing these petitions. Be good luck in trying to get I only got one politician to step forward, and I dare not confront anybody here because then they would be politically ostracized because, you know, they're not going to sign this. And supposedly they're a conservative or what have you. It's just ridiculous, the political correct games and the games that we have to play in politics. But you don't have to play that in these red states like Wyoming and the Dakotas and so forth. So, as I say, if we really want to solve this problem, then we need to get organized. And if we want to solve the local problems, we really have to get organized in cleaning up our communities before we can really start cleaning up our party. I mean, there's no point in trying to go into the GOP and really clean it up because there's all sorts of problems. As I've talked about, you can't be a big tent with all these little tents. And if you look at this, it's not just the Spokane, it's the GOP period. The GOP is allowing these factions, which are divisive in nature, to basically set up camp so that they can, you know, start competing for their own agenda. There's no room in there for that. So anyway, if you're looking and if you are actually considering, you know, stepping up for your community, stepping up and trying to save the Constitution or whatever it is you want to do, send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I would be happy to take your help. I typically grovel every day on my national program. I'm going to stop, you know, kind of groveling so much, but I will tell you this, if you've got a computer, you've got a phone, you have resources that can actually help and contribute, and you know how to use those two devices, give me an email and we can use your help. I will bring you on board and slowly help you along with this. I know I bring this up a lot, but this is the prevailing sentiment, and yet no one wants to step up and out in this community. And so instead of pointing the fingers, I'm going to try something a little different. And I'm just basically going to ask, where is the leadership? Where is that one person who's willing to stand up and take the necessary steps, the risks, whatever you want to call it, to clean up the mess? What we need are people to actually come together. And, you know, there's that courage moment when one person stands up, when they kind of go, hey, who's willing to do that? You know, because we need people to do this. And when one person stands up, all of a sudden, everybody starts getting this, you know, shot of courage and they'll all stand up. That's what we need. We need that shot of courage moment. We need leaders to start stepping forward. And some of those leaders I've taught, who are the leaders in the community? If you're looking at a political person, somebody that, you know, has either an appointment or is an elected official, they are not the leaders. Those folks, unfortunately, most all of them in this area, most all, I'm not going to even name names, but for the most part, they're all managing agendas. They're not putting aside their differences. They're not putting aside their self-interest. As a matter of fact, the opposite is happening. They're trying to divide by demagoguery. I mean, how many political leaders are you seeing stepping out into the fray and actually using demagoguery and poking other people in the eye without any evidence? They're just basically, that term, label lynching. Yeah, there you go. That's what they're doing. They're not leading. They're not putting aside their differences and their self-interest and saying, we need to unite. You know, whether this is true or not, we don't care. What we need to do is we need to unite. And that's what leaders do. Leaders find that common core, that common ground, and get people to basically coalesce, to unite upon those common things, those common principles. And what's more common than individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution? That's what we should be rallying on. That's what we should be basically centering ourselves on. You've heard me say this all the time. If we're centering on the Constitution and those two principles of individual liberty and sovereignty, guess what? We're going to be able to put aside our differences and actually start performing some miracles. It is the communities that really have to start stepping up. We can't count on these, again, all of these agenda managers, whether they're in political parties, in political positions, it doesn't matter. They're not going to stand up and they're not going to have the epiphany, because it takes a huge motivating factor. In other words, a good kick in the pants or something real humbling to get somebody to change their ways. Remember the prodigal child? What did it take for him to change his ways? And so if we're looking within the community and we're not looking to buying into any of these agendas to help one at the expense of the whole, then I think if we actually center on the Constitution, we'll be able to do this. And so, again, I'm kind of asking for help. I'm looking for business owners, whether you be a small business or a big business, it doesn't matter. If you do not want to see other companies, because they have maybe more money than you, be able to throw millions of dollars, $250,000 into an election so that they can buy affluence, then and you're tired of the direction of this county, then hit me up, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I've had a few people send me emails. I don't name names. I've been in the intel business for a long time, and you definitely have to protect your sources. So as we start coming together and we start getting organized, you're not going to see this. But if you want to see it, you really need to become a part of the solution and no longer a part of the problem. The problem is that we have a bunch of divisive people that, again, like I said, are managing agendas. And we have to get rid of that. We have to either force those people to either become leaders, or we need to get new people to lead instead of them, period. It's really that easy, and it takes a while. This is not something we're going to do overnight, so you need to come with some patience, and you need to come with resolve that you want to be a part of the solution. If you want to understand who's buying your government, start looking at every single political officer that is being elected, from, you know, the commissioners, the sheriffs, legislative, all of them, and look at who's contributing. And then you can ask, well, why are they contributing to that campaign or to this person or what have you? And look at how much money they're spending. I will tell you this, we'll have Aline back, and I won't be able to cover more of this until next week, but you can count on it that we're going to be focusing on getting organized and helping this county in solving our problems, as well as getting good people elected. Focus on the election, folks. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Okay, so I am back, and actually, I am back with Elaine Lindstrom. And so, welcome back, post-election analysis.
Thank you so much.
I kind of went through a little bit of that last week as far as the overall outcomes and some a few little surprises as far as some losing a little ground historically in the races previously and so forth. So anyway, I don't know if we need to drill into that. And if you want to, feel free. We've only got, you know, a limited sure. time here. So anyway, what I did notice is that we've taken a considerable effort in trying to get people to recognize that voter turnout has a big, big impact on the outcome of an election. And we kind of got better. We got a lot better. But we can do much better, can't we?
I don't know why we couldn't. Of course, we have 100% turnout, which is probably not totally practical. People
we
sick,
can do
whatever.
It, folks. We can do it.
But almost, well, 46.19% as of Friday, and this will be recorded. It is recorded for a couple days later. So as of Friday, August
right.
Third, whatever, today's the 14th, whatever.
Okay.
And so it's a couple days ago, at the end of the week, we had 46%. We had still, at that point, 30,000 ballots yet to count.
Which is almost another 10% then.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's over 50% then.
It should be, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's great, but that's still terrible. That means that every other house on your block voted. And so if you voted, then you should go to both sides of you and poke those neighbors in the eye, because there's a good likelihood they didn't vote. At least you'd be 50%, right?
I would love to see 65-70% turnout.
I think for Spokane to truly get itself represented, we have mm-hmm. to be better than 80%, because yeah. I truly believe the outliers on both extremes are a small minority. And I do know that the majority of those who do not vote are those that usually lean towards conservative values. And that's unfortunate, because it is those folks that are not getting that representation. So we're continually being thrown down this progressive path of road calming, traffic calming, and all of these other progressive impacts that the city council and so forth, even the county commissioners, could easily swing and make a horrendous impact if we do not have our representation. So
totally. And I have an article that came off the internet, and I'm not going to read it, of course, but the question the article brings: did prepaid postage increase voter turnout? Anything novel in the past, the election office has admitted probably has a 5% difference, because it's novel, it's new. Yet people, to the large degree, some did, but most did not know that in the past, without the prepaid postage, if you didn't put a stamp on it, still got to the election office, and the post office charged the election office. We were still paying for it, but nobody really knew that, because there was this contract that they had with the post office. They felt that if you took the time to vote, didn't put a stamp on it, you still were going to have your vote counted. But now that we have prepaid postage, I don't know what else you can do other than hire somebody to sit by your side and help you fill out your ballot, people. And I'm sorry, a little passion there, because there is no other easy things. We were forced by the legislature to the Democratic legislature to spend more money on further addition of drop boxes at the libraries, at campus sites. It was based on population. In some smaller towns, even based on population, but there's not that big. They didn't have the funds to do it. They were forced to do it. Some counties didn't have the money to do the prepaid postage for both elections.
Right.
It's very difficult when you force this, when in fact, it's so easy to do your ballot. It comes to you in the mail. Uh-huh. You know, the only thing we're not doing is writing it out for you, people.
Right.
And so it's so easy, but I don't know how it could get easier. So I think there is a percentage. Is it 5? Who knows? We can't verify that at this point, but it's a novel thing. Oh, doesn't cost me a stamp. My 49 cents or my 47 cents. Oh, my gosh, that's so much money. But who has stamps? Well, they don't need them now.
So. Now, if we're almost close to obtaining 60% for the primary, then I'm hoping to motivate those listeners to at least help share the importance of voter turnout and how, and at least point out that those who are not voting tend to have a very conservative side. They tend to vote on conservative issues and vote for conservative people and platforms. So that being said, if you're a progressive, then you don't want to convince anybody to vote. And so if you happen to know people that aren't talking at all about the election, there's a good chance they may have a progressive gene in them that do not want to get you to vote. So there you can start differentiating between who's who. But more importantly, we have to start being far more vocal. Participating in the election process is not politics. It is not Democrat or Republican. It is a civic duty. We are a self-governed people, and that is your minimum requirement to participate in this process. So
I totally agree. And I think that, and I always have gone the step further, is having those conversations. But we have our spheres of influence, each one of us.
Right.
Some people have close friends that they know work out places. People work, have jobs. People have neighbors sometimes, not everybody, but
right.
You know, sometimes they're further out. But we have neighbors. We have family. The older generation, grandparents, they might be sick, ill. They might need your help. I'm not saying vote their ballot for them.
Right.
I'm saying help them. And your children, your grandchildren. You're absolutely right, have to have these conversations with all of these groups. Not just pat yourself on the back because you talk to your kids about voting.
Right.
There's a whole bunch more people out there that we need to say, are you voting? And the step of responsibility. How many people listening to you have ever put a sign in the yard for anybody on anything? Ever? We can help a candidate, somebody you want to see in office,
right.
Do it.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
As a matter of fact, that's American. And it just came to me that maybe we should have a campaign between now and November that, you know, we have one public service announcement targeting mothers. Mom, do you have kids? Are they eligible to vote? Have you talked to them about voting? Did you teach them about their American responsibility in vote? And then we'll target fathers. And then we'll target sons and daughters. Is your mother voting? Are you helping her? Is she infirmed that she can't? You need to help your mother vote. So that way we can start targeting.
Sure.
And I think if we take it home because there's nothing more home than the family.
That's right.
I think that maybe if we bring this home for the voters, or I should say the listeners, so that the listeners can actually start maybe finding some wedge of motivation in trying to elevate. Because I think, Spokane, you are going to do a lot better and you'll be far happier with your results if we're getting 80% or better.
Totally. And, you know, I can go one step further, and I take this on personal action on my part, too. At the church that I went to, many of your listeners attend church.
Yes.
And it's very hard sometimes to speak up. It's embarrassing or we don't have a voice. But if there's an opportunity for prayer time or prayer requests, are you asking your fellow parishioners, your pastor, to pray for the election? Are you asking your church fellow parishioners to
that's another
use
good point.
Resources, because when we had that, and before we have a church service, there's prayer requests.
But that's another good point.
Yeah.
That's a community leader. And
yeah.
So church pastors, church leaders, or community leaders. Who else are community leaders? Employers. Mm-hmm. If you have a business, you are a community leader. So you need to encourage. You don't have to tell them how to vote or what to vote for. What you need to do is you need to impress upon them, you know, if they're not happy with, you know, what they're getting in benefits or what have you, make sure you go vote, because those are the things that are impacted in voting.
And mention some good resources. People don't know where to go still. There are those out there. And there's lots of good resources. You know that.
Okay. Yeah. And so maybe we should have a little PSA on the resources as well. I just want to try to motivate people and try to get Spokane to actually start obtaining its self-representation. Because I truly believe, I have faith in Spokane. We moved here because of faith. My wife and I, we didn't know where to go. We were refugees from California. And seriously, we were looking at going to Wyoming, Utah, Idaho. We were somewhere in this area. And when we drove through and when we stopped at the different places, we our faith told us to come here.
And I was born here. I'm a native.
And so I truly believe that maybe I can help motivate Spokane. Maybe I can't. But I can speak the obvious, and we're out of time right now. And so we'll have to hit this heartbreak. So we're going to be right back with Aline as soon as we come back from our sponsors. Thank you so much. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google Donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, health care, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty. Okay, so we are back, and as our last segment, and I promise we have Aline still. And it's not Aline still, but it's Aline Lindstrom, and she is still here, is what I meant. And we kind of covered the importance of voter turnout, and it's no secret that I demand that we get better than 80%, folks. But on top of that, I'd like to actually drill into some of these results, because I've noticed out of some of, you know, in the name results alone, and, you know, it's kind of obvious that I believe some of the longstanding conservative candidates have kind of slipped in what they're getting. And some of that probably has something to do with the local politic milieu. However, I still believe that overall, I still think that most of Spokane is very conservative, more than 50%.
The county.
Yes, the county. And So when we look at some of these results, I was really surprised that we actually had, and something you pointed out, actually, I'll drill straight into it, in the 3rd District, where it seemed like there were, I think, 143 Republicans. And actually, if I look at the math, though, is that correct? Because in that one,
You're talking about the PCO race.
The PCO, correct.
And PCOs are precinct committee officers, which is the duly elected but the lowest elected position within a political party.
But here's my point. I'm looking at the numbers. It's 60 plus 72
right.
equals 143,
right.
or is it 132?
The 143.
60
132 plus, voted. 132 voted. Sorry. The 143.
But 60 plus 72 is 132.
That's okay. 132 voted Republican.
Okay.
There were two Republican, and this is a contested race between two of the same party, Republican.
Right.
And on the Republican, or if it had been, if there had been two Democrats running, you would have had to sign somewhere on there that you are agreeing, you are a Democrat, voting for a Democrat PCO. Same thing with Republicans. So
right.
you can only come to the conclusion that if you're going to that thing, that level of voting for a Republican PCO, that you are probably Republican, or you're going to leave it blank or not vote. Or, you know.
But what I'm saying, and I know the folks aren't looking at this, but 60 plus 72 is 132.
Correct.
But the total there is 143.
No, that's not a total. I'm sorry. See that? It's under votes.
Oh, under votes.
Yeah, 143 did not vote.
Interesting.
It was left blank.
Okay.
So 143 people did not vote. So we're looking at that 132.
So what you said before, the did not vote, mm-hmm. left blank. So folks,
that's
what happens if you do not vote, then it's considered an undervote.
An undervote is a no vote, basically.
Well, so a no vote is no ballot to me.
No, it's not a no ballot. They just left that oval blank.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm differentiating a no vote from an undervote.
Well, it's the same as. It's like a person that says, I'm not going to vote. Well, they actually did vote by not voting any ballot and tore it up.
Correct.
That is like, you know.
Correct.
It allows the other person who you really don't want in to have your vote that somebody else voted that counts more than because you didn't even participate.
Right.
Similar, but not. You're right.
Right.
It's different.
Okay.
So then
okay.
you look at the actual race of how many Republicans voted for the Republican candidate for Olympia. And he got 79 votes in that precinct, of which 132 voted for a PCO. 132 Republicans voted.
Right.
But only 79 of them voted for Dave Lucas. And 185 voted for the Democrat, Tim Ormsby. How odd is that? Pretty odd.
That's interesting. Now, yeah. Do we have the PCO? Was there a PCO vote in that same precinct? For the Democrats. A Democratic PCO.
No, the only ones that are going to show up are contested, so no.
Okay, so
there was not a contested Democrat against a Democrat.
Okay, so what about the other seat? There was.
Well, that would be a
Dave Lucas.
That was a different race.
But isn't that same district represented?
Well, yes,
by two. There,
but it would be. I'd have to look through all the precincts to
right.
find something like that where there's a contested race.
But what you're telling me though is this not a what you would consider a stronger Republican precinct?
You would think so with 132 voting for a PCO and 143 don't even bother voting. Yeah, interesting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So 132, but only 79 of them bother to vote for the Republican candidate.
Yes.
Huh.
Okay. I agree.
And then what you've got is, and this is also very odd, is between Thomas Taylor, who ran against Marcus Rascelli.
So,
and Dave Lucas, who ran against Tim Ormsby. Let's take the two Republican candidates. Thomas Taylor, has no campaign.
Okay.
No money.
Right.
And he doesn't take any money from businesses, just individuals. And you have somebody else, Dave Lucas, that has a full-blown campaign, and their percentages are almost identical against the Democrats.
Okay.
So why is Lisa Brown, why is Kathy Memorial Rogers spending all this money because it doesn't make any difference? Or does it? And maybe something else is going in an algorithm.
I don't know, I will say this, though, that's 275 Republicans in this particular precinct based on the undervotes and based on the total votes. That's 275. And so that's an astronomical percentage that did not vote for their own state legislator. One of the most important positions anybody listening to Reclaiming the Republic understands, that your state legislator is the only person that can protect you from federal tyranny and has the literally the authority over the federal government of all things not delegated to that federal government. I go over this on my national show a lot. And so with that, you're right. That is a mind blower, because that's like 25%. 25%.
But everybody says the third district is all Democrat and they're crazy. That's not true. It's not true.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And so
those percentages of Dave Lucas.
Did Dave Lucas have an election representative in the primary? Out at the
a campaign manager?
No. Well, whoever can go into the election observing.
Yes, he did.
He did have somebody
there. He was there himself one time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did he have anybody else there?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
good.
He did almost every day.
And are they able to ask and start challenging, why is it that there's 100 and some odd, 275 Republican voters, and why is it I only got 25% of those votes?
Let me tell you how difficult that is after 9 years of election observing. Up until a year ago, we, sitting at a table, the only thing that you can hear, because until they actually run the ballots the day before and the day of election day,
yes,
okay, the ones that don't need duplicating are not looked at or checked at in any way. They're just set aside, ready to run.
Okay.
The others that will not make it through for various reasons that the machine will not read them have to be duplicated.
Right.
That's where you can hear or used to be able to see when they duplicated them. They don't show them to us anymore.
Okay.
And we have to listen very, very hard. So these numbers aren't really known until the day of election at 8 p.m., okay?
Okay.
So we're still running ballots. They're running ballots today. They're probably running ballots. They got 30,000 as
right.
of last. So we will know more. So you can't challenge right then yet. You listen. That's why we want observers.
But you can challenge, you can challenge based on the numbers they've counted so far.
Yes.
And if we already know that there's been 275 in this one particular precinct that has been processed, 275, and only 25% of those actually voted in this particular issue, then I'm going,
It does seem like there is a problem when we talked about the algorithms, which is, again, one of those things that I'm very concerned about.
So, so real quick, we need to talk about Ed Pace.
Certainly.
And what happened?
He wanted to write a write-in.
No, I understand. The
okay.
whole history.
What happened?
What was the outcome?
The outcome is that he had over 4,000 votes that will not be counted because the auditor spoke directly through him through emails, of which she is supposed to have a representative speak on her behalf the year that she runs, and no paper was set forth, no person spoke on her behalf, and this is concerning her own race. A little self.
So if I was a lawyer, if I was a lawyer and you were a bird in my ear talking to Ed, I'm talking to Ed and you're talking in my ear, what would you tell me to tell Ed?
I would say I think you ought to pursue it, because this is egregious when you are not following the law. Who's going to hold our elected officials' feet to the fire? Who? I sound like an owl.
Right. Well, so let me get into what I believe. We need an initiative on the ballot to demand that every person that is in an election, like Dave Lucas, he should be able to audit every single one of those votes in his precincts, in his district that he was running, and be able to literally challenge the veracity of how every vote was counted for him. If we don't have that ability, then we have no control over our elections, and that means we have an oligarchy dictating who are our elected leaders and what we're getting for laws and so forth. And that is not American. That is not our constitutional republic.
He would have to pay big bucks to have every one of the ballots in a given district counted for himself.
I disagree. I think that the outcome of who should have to pay, this should be a part of the initiative. Whoever loses has to pay. And so, folks, I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic. And with your help, which I do need your help, God bless us. We can reclaim this republic. I'll be back next week.